I have decided to follow Jesus.
Welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7, a radio ministry of the Berean Call with T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. It's great to have you along. In today's program, Tom concludes a two-part series with guest Martin and Deidre Bobgan of Psychoheresy Awareness Ministries as they address the topic, Psychologizing Missionaries. And now, here's Tom.
Thanks, Gary. Well, this is the second part of our program dealing with personality testings for the purpose of evaluation. And as we mentioned last week, Martin mentioned that it's huge in the church. It's for missionary selection, hiring, seminary selection, pastor selection. It just goes on and on. Even for recognizing or attempting to recognize spiritual gifts, you know, we've seen that happen as well. My guests to discuss this subject, and which if you listen to part one, they're Dr. Martin and Deidre Bobgan. They are prolific writers dealing with the issues of psychological counseling and Christian psychology, so-called. And as I mentioned last week as well, their books can be downloaded for free on their website, or you can order hard copies from the Berean Call. And I'm telling you, it's well worth it, whether it be your downloaded version or the hard copy. These are important things, especially in the church today. It's incredible. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, Scripture tells us, and Paul writes to Timothy that there will be perilous times ahead. Men will be lovers of their own selves. We're seeing that developed in spades. So, Martin, Deidre, thanks for being with me again on Search the Scriptures 24/7.
Glad to do it.
Now, Deidre, last week you were addressing some aspects of the Myers-Briggs type indicator, which I think we'll refer to as the MBTI throughout this segment. But could you just give us a recap on the MBTI?
Well, basically what I was saying was its background, it having come from Carl Jung's occult theories of personality. And what happened was early in the 20th century, mid-20th century, well, earlier, Catherine Cook Briggs and her daughter, Isabel Briggs Myers, took Jung's typology and turned it into a means of understanding people. And then they went on to create a test with it. Now, they themselves were not trained, but they did use people who were trained to help them along the way. And what it is Carl Jung, he had two opposites of a way a person approaches the world, an attitude, you could call it, extrovert and introvert. And then there were four ways of functioning in the world, feeling, thinking, sensing, and intuitive is the other word they use. And so they took those terms and turned it into a system whereby you have 16 different personality types. So their first is how energized, whether you're extrovert or introvert, how we perceive the world around us by sensing, feeling things, I mean, using our five senses, or by intuition, how we make decisions by thinking or by feeling, and then how we choose to live our outer lives by judging according to a standard or simply perceiving. And out of that, they get 16 different personality types. And I will tell you, it is Satan's clever device because every personality type appeals to the flesh. Pride is big. Mm-hmm. And it's the same also with all of the, ever since Babylon, the four temperaments coming through astrology. In fact, there was one woman who actually thought she would see if there were similarities between the astrological charts and the Myers-Briggs. And what she found out, she was quite surprised at how they lined up the birth chart with the personality. And so you have this consistency coming through from those early times, now coming into an instrument that looks so modern, it looks so 20th century, 21st century now, mm-hmm. and it is appealing to the flesh. Because let me just tell you a couple of the, all right, if you happen to be ISTJ, which would be the I, introvert, S, sensing, thinking, and judging. Then here's a description of the person. Quiet, serious, earned success by thoroughness and dependability. Practical, matter of fact, realistic and responsible. Decide logically what should be done and work toward it steadily, regardless of distractions. Take pleasure in making everything orderly and organized. Their work, their home life, their life. Value traditions and loyalty. Okay, every one of them, every one of the types comes through as something that is very appealing to the flesh.
Yeah. Deidre, let me add this. Last week, you talked about the subjective aspect of this. This reads like an astrology chart, okay?
Exactly.
And that's the thing. The people who are involved in this, they have no problem referring to this as a religion, which it is. You mentioned the four temperaments, things of the Greek gods, Eastern mysticism, the collective unconscious. This is guesswork and worse. These are perceptions coming from Carl Gustav Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist. And we mentioned last week, he got his information from Philemon, as Dave Hunt liked to call him, Philemon the demon. He was into channeling, whether you call it divination or channeling. These are doctrines of demons that the church, not directly, indirectly, but they're deceived into buying into this approach to supposedly evaluating people. That's right out of the occult. And there's no question about that. I'm not making this up. Martin, last week you mentioned, or maybe it was Deidre, you talked about the biographies of Jung. And it's just laid out. It's as plain as it can be.
You know, Tom, there's something interesting about these personality tests. They can never test humility.
Mm-hmm.
Love, devotion to the Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, willingness to suffer, faithfulness, and the whole idea that in the flesh we cannot please God. We cannot please Him in the flesh. It's only His life in us that pleases. And so what they're doing is they are trying to evaluate the carnal nature, the flesh. And even when they are doing it, as Martin can, I think Martin needs to talk about the validity and reliability, because people think, oh, but it tells me something about me. It does tell me something about me. But you see, it only can touch those external aspects. And people are deceived because research reveals that individuals are very prone to accept the most general characteristic descriptions as being specifically applicable to themselves. And they call that the Barnum effect,
mm-hmm.
who believe that a good circus has a little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah.
So people will see these characteristics and they will attribute them to themselves and they will think they have this personality. But God created, even in our natural way, before the Holy Spirit comes into us, we are way more complex than these personality tests show. We are way more complex. And we will act differently and feel differently and choose differently in different situations. So this is such a demonic deception in the church right now that it's so sad. College professors who are Bible professors, Old Testament, New Testament, will stand by the Myers-Briggs because it tells you something about people.
Deidre, you mentioned P.T. Barnum, the Barnum effect. You know, one of his other lines was, there's a sucker born every minute.
Yes.
As sad as, you know.
And unfortunately, they're in the church. It's so sad.
We go back to, you described, without using the term, it's just like an astrology column. Why are they popular? And they're so vague, but people take out what they want and apply them to themselves and so on. Now, Martin, let's go back to, because where the fraud is, the deception is that this is scientific. What about the validity of the MBTI?
Well, we, in our statistical area, we refer to validity as the soul of the test. It answers the question, does the test do what it's supposed to do? And so this was taken on by the National Research Council. And what they did was they evaluated the MBTI just as they evaluate other promises that people have, presentations that they sell or that they market in some way. And this is one of their chapters of one of the items that they dug into, and it's the Myers-Briggs type indicator. And what this National Council, Research Council did, and by the way, the council members are drawn from the councils of the National Academy of Sciences, National Academy of Engineering, and the Institute of Medicine. And these are pretty high-level men and women, specially selected to because of their scientific minds. And so in their appraisal of the MBTI, they concluded, and I'm reading, they say, Macaulay, one of them, estimates that the MBTI is used as a diagnostic instrument by 1,700,000 people a year in the United States. And Moore and Woods list the wide variety of organizations in business, industry, education, government, and the military that use it. And go on to say, I'm quoting them still, it is probably fair to say that the MBTI is the most popular self-insight, insight into others, instrument in use today. Now watch this last sentence. Unfortunately, however, the popularity of the instrument is not coincident with the supportive results of research. And so what we have is the research doesn't support the popularity. They also say the evidence summarized in this entire section raises questions about the validity of the MBTI. So the very soul of the test is in question. And yet, even if you show this scientific information to people, for whatever reason, it does not turn them off. People aren't of a mind to say, oh, okay. Apparently, that demonstrates the very heart of this test is not valid. I should not be using it. But they use it anyway. Some of the people we've interviewed, they're quite aware of the Jungian background. They're quite aware of there's divination involved in it with the spirit guide and so on and so forth. They still go ahead. They like the results. It's kind of like playing a game to them. But I wouldn't play around with divination. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't play around with any demonic activity that was quite evident in the background of Carl Gustav Jung and use any instrument that's based upon his theory and his ideas.
You know, Martin, T.G., the tragic part of all this, and you mentioned it last week, Martin, you have the researchers. You guys know the researchers because, Martin, as we you described last week, that's your background, and certainly DG is an incredible help in that area. But those are the researchers, and few people are going to that for its validity. You'd think that it would be different, especially in the day where you go to Consumer Reports and so on when you're buying a refrigerator or a car or something like that. But that's not the case, and it's really – as I said, tragic because the church is into this in a big way because they're listening to – and this is being promoted by the practitioners. And it seems to me that the practitioners could not care less about what the researchers are saying. You know, I think of another example. We don't have to get into it. But what about the Rorschach inkblot test? There's a fraud that is still going on today. This is, folks, if you don't know that, it's like an inkblot, and you're supposed to tell the practitioner, the psychiatrist, psychologist, what you see in there. I mean, come on. This is the theater of the absurd, and it is impacting lives. And that's what I want you guys to address next. What happens to an individual who wants to go into the mission field? And now I'll say this, because I've been out in Mongolia, I've been out in Albania, I've been out in lots of places with missionaries who I love like nobody's business, and they're a little crazy, okay? And when I say that, they're willing to do what others are not willing to do for the Lord, and they couldn't pass a test like this, the ones that I know, if you had to. But what about that restricting or denying somebody who's been called to the Lord to go into the mission field? I have friends who are missionaries in North Korea, okay? Talk about that. Now, so what about those who are denied access to their calling of the Lord, what the Lord wants them to do?
It's sad, and it's sad because we haven't gotten a lot of these letters, but we've gotten enough of them to know that There's very deep hurt that goes on. The pattern is about the same. Person sensed a call from the Lord, was active in church, and had a great desire to serve him on the field. And the big problem here is that they're picking up a worldly system, just like you have in business, and they use the MBTI in business too, and getting a profile and then judging based upon the profile. Well, I was a vice president at Santa Barbara City College, and I liked what we did there. For example, if you wanted to be a radiologic technician, you would shadow. You would be assigned to radiologic technicians at the local hospital. You would be able to, whatever is permitted for somebody who isn't authorized to be in areas, they wouldn't be there, but you would follow that person around for 1 week. Well, for missionaries, if they would give longer terms of possibilities, and New Tribes Mission does this, by the way, but if they would give longer terms of possibilities, they wouldn't need any testing. In fact, they practically wouldn't even need any personal recommendations. Because why? Because the person goes in, he's with missionaries, he's in a missionary camp, he's in a missionary situation, and he's in there for, well, how long does it take? You give him 3 months, 6 months, whatever, and you're able to observe the person firsthand, because the usual things that happen in life will happen. You got to get involved in there. You got to get in the cooking. You got to get in the waiting line to be fed, all of these things. But instead of that, they're picking up the ways of the world. And the frustrating thing with looking at this is the fact, recently, you read our newsletter, we've had a couple of articles on the narcissistic American. Well, there's a lot of not only narcissism going on, but there is some terrible, terrible theologic misunderstanding, because we ran a survey conducted by Lifeway Research, and what they found with respect to the whole area of human depravity, 67% of these individuals agree, quote, "Everyone sins at least a little, but most people are by nature good." Now, if you have that kind of theology and you take a personality inventory, I don't think you're going to be interested in the validity, the divination background of it, the fact that an occult psychiatrist put it together, and the fact that it could be extremely, spiritually speaking, dangerous ground for people to be walking on.
Yeah, I must say it's too bad they don't have them take the test 5 weeks later, because they would have had another personality, according to much of the research done on the Myers-Briggs.
Yeah, I mean, that's an important case, and you guys may establish that before. We're not robots. So a scientific so-called evaluation of any of us is going to be different. What mood am I in? How am I going to answer the question? What does the tester mean by this thing? And sadly, well, my youngest son just putting out applications for physical therapy school, and one of the questions is had to do with professionalism. And he didn't know what they meant by it, and who would? Because it didn't spell it out what they mean by professionalism, but he had to do an essay on that aspect of the question that was asked. So what we're talking about here are things that are so incredibly subjective, experiential, feelings-oriented, both on the side of the questions being asked and then the response to it. And as you said, Deidre, it's going to change maybe not just from week to week, but from day to day.
Tom, if we want to know more about ourselves, and that's why a lot of people take this test, we would do well to spend more time in Scripture.
Right.
Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. And then Proverbs 16:16, you have, the deadly sins, the proud look, the lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that is devilish, wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running in mischief, and a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord. And so now these things, they sound so remote from what we really do. But mm-hmm. you know what? We do a lot of that. All of us have very... Pride is the downfall, both inner and outer. And that is why I think in Psalm 19 at the end, well, even earlier, he says, 19:12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. In other words, what I don't know about me myself. I mean, I know enough to confess what I know, but I have other things that I don't know. Cleanse me from those. And then, and he says, and keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. In other words, the ones we know we're doing. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression.
Mm-hmm.
And then let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Where are we supposed to look? Inside, or are we supposed to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith?
Deidre, that's what I want. We've got about 4 minutes left. But both of you, I want you to address this scripture based on what we've been talking about last week and this week. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yes.
Both of you, what does that tell us?
Well, obviously, it says that only the Lord knows us.
Mm-hmm.
Only the Lord. And you know, in Psalm 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And then through the entire psalm, it shows no matter where I go, he's there, he's there, he knows me. And then it says at the end, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Right.
It's not if there be any wicked way in, whatever wicked way, really, because we are still living in the flesh.
Yeah.
And we are still so vulnerable to deception because of that. That's why we need to get back to what God has said about us. What has he said about us? And then you look at 1 Corinthians 13:4. This would certainly be more necessary for anybody going into any Christian service than any of these tests. Charity suffereth long. Charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, and hopeth all things, and endureth all things.
See, Deidre, these are not, as you well know, both of you well know, these are not ideas, guesses, speculations, theories, or anything like that. This is God's word. It not only indicates our problems, it tells us how to go about resolving the problems. Martin, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, I was just going to add, no one can actually accuse the Bible of providing a P.T. Barnum effect.
Right. Right. It's God's word.
And, it's God's word, and you have it all the way from the deceitful heart to the promises and blessings of God. And we don't have it all on the positive side like the P.T. Barnum effect.
You know, the thing is, not only does he have his word for us, but he lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us to take everything to conform us to the image of Christ. And I must say, for some people who might be denied the mission field because they failed the test, that's an opportunity for them to draw close to the Lord and know him better. And we've known people who actually that happened to. They drew close to the Lord and eventually did go out with another mission agency.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he does work in us. And he knows us through and through. And, you know, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit stays with us. I mean, sometimes I think, bad thoughts about things.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit stays and then brings correction and repentance and so forth. So we have everything in Him. Why are we looking out for stuff that is comes from demons?
Right, and is just a deception and a fraud. My guests have been Martin and Deidre Bobgan. We've been dealing with the Myers-Briggs. Well, we've been dealing with personality testing, but in particular, the Myers-Briggs type indicator. And important, folks. I hope that you'll point people to this to the discussion that we've had on our website. You know, Martin and Deidre have materials as well at their ministry. And Martin, Deidre, thank you so much for being with us on this program.
Well, thank you again for having us, Don.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures 24/7, featuring T.A. McMahon, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Books and newsletters from the Bobgan Psychoheresy Awareness Ministry are available in hardcover or as free downloads from the Berean Call. We offer a wide variety of resources to help you in your study of God's Word. For a complete list of materials and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at thebereancall.org. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could tune in, and we hope you can join us again next week. Until then, we encourage you to search the Scriptures 24/7.
Though none go with me, I still will follow, no turning back, no turning back.